morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Could you open your Bibles, please, to the Acts of the Apostles, chapter number 1. I didn't raise my hand because my birthday isn't until tomorrow. But tomorrow, I got out of it, but tomorrow my wife says I'll be legal for Florida. I'll be 55. She says, the condos we bought, it says 55 and over, you'll be legal tomorrow. But the government gives you this 15% clause or something that means that 15% of us can be under 55. But anyway, we'll leave that alone. It's really good to be here this morning. I just wanted to pass along a little word of encouragement before we read the Word of God, and that is this, that it wasn't too long ago that Waterbury Christian Fellowship, just a few miles from Cheshire Bible Chapel, started in the home. And it was a very small group, smaller than this. And right now, I think, there's a close to 100 in fellowship. And they meet in a school, such as this. So I want to encourage the hearts of God's people here. I know we don't know all of you, although we do know some of you, that God can do a mighty work here. And I want to encourage you from His Word this morning with a few verses from the Acts of the Apostles to strengthen your heart that God is at work here, certainly, and He uses such as you and I to do His work. And it isn't about numbers. It's not about whether a year or two or three from now you have 100 or not. It's not about that. But it's about reaching out and evangelizing and bringing souls to Christ, encouraging the body of Christ here. And that's what we're here for. We're here to proclaim His name, to be a testimony to Him, but to go out and evangelize and bring others in, that they too may know Christ. So be encouraged that while you may think to yourself, well, we're just a few in number, that's how many assemblies, and I'm sure there's others that know of other assemblies, that started in the very same way in somebody's home with just five or six, and now there's a great number that go on in testimony for the Lord. So we're encouraged to be here. It was a precious time around the Lord's table this morning, precious worship and thoughts concerning His coming back and the promises that He made for us. And His word is true. I will come again. So the Acts of the Apostles, chapter number 1. The thoughts on my heart this morning, I had prayed, and when Dennis and Eileen said they'd like to have us share the Word of God, I've been looking at these thoughts previously, and I thought, well, you know, this will encourage, I trust. This is the Word of God. It's not what I say or my thoughts, but it's the Word of God that encourages. And I thought of this topic here, and so if you were to place a topic over the message today, it might be something like this. God's agenda in the current church age for the growth of individual believers and His church. I'll repeat that. God's agenda in this current church age for the growth of individual believers and His church. What better place to start than the Acts of the Apostles, where we see the ministry of the church, the Acts of the Holy Spirit. In Schofield, it says, I have underlined in my Bible, this book is of the highest importance because it is the only inspired account of the beginning of the early work of the church. So if we're going to go anywhere to find a blueprint for God's church, it would be, of course, most of all in the Acts of the Apostles. So with the help of the Lord, let's look at a few verses together. And we hope to make some practical applications here from what we read, because that's the most important thing, is not just that we have the doctrine, or that we have the Word, but we make application of the Word of God. So I trust that we can do that this morning in our little time together. So let's read, beginning at verse number 1. The writings of Luke, who also wrote, of course, the Gospel according to Luke. The former treatise which I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which He was taken up, after He, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments unto the apostles whom He had chosen, to whom also He showed Himself alive after His passion, by many infallible proofs, being seen by them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, said He, ye have heard from Me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit, not many days from now. One day, therefore, were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. There's a key verse that I would like to press upon my heart and your heart today. It would be verse number 8. So if you, as I say, get nothing else out of this message, please take home verse 8 with you and meditate upon this. And this is the verse that we hope to make application from. But, ye shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received them out of their sight. Now the Lord will bless to us the reading of his word. By way of application, I was looking at these passages here, thinking about God's agenda for the current church age. You know, many times in life we find ourselves trying different programs or different things in the assembly, only to find that what we need really is to get back to basics. Get back to basics. So this morning, let's get back to basics. These are things, of course, that you all know and you are practicing right now. But it's so wonderful just to get back to basics. God's blueprint is seen here. If you were to turn to chapter 2, we won't take the time to do that. Of course, in chapter 2, verse 42, that familiar verse that we're used to reading over and over, explaining the operation of the blueprint of God. Let's take the time to just go there quickly. It says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, that's teaching, and in fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. If ever there was a blueprint for the New Testament church, that one verse could summarize the whole thing. Believers in unity. And then later on, of course, in the chapter, just by way of application, the result was godly reverence. The result were that many things were accomplished for God and his work. The result was people were saved and added to the assembly there. The result of just following the simple blueprint of God's pattern for the New Testament church. So looking at these few verses in the beginning part of Acts of the Apostles, we see here that the Lord has left for us too his Holy Spirit. His Holy Spirit, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. So I have four little thoughts that go along with this. Four little thoughts. The Lord, the Father, has given to us the indwelling of his Holy Spirit. Jesus himself, when he departed, said, I leave the Comforter with you. Now the Lord has left his Holy Spirit to do what? Well, for the unsaved, of course, is to convict them of their need of salvation. Thanks be to God. I remember as a boy of 11 years old in the gospel hall, hearing preaching, and I've been brought up since a little child, but it dawned on my heart that yes, I was a sinner. And yes, I needed God's salvation. And yes, I was on my way to hell. And if I didn't believe Jesus died for me, I would be going there. And the Holy Spirit of God took a hold of my young little mind and my heart and revealed Christ to me, dying on the cross for my sins, and I drank it in. And I believed that Jesus died for me personally. The working of the Holy Spirit in the lives of the unsaved to convict them of their need of a Savior. We can hand them a gospel tract. We can preach to them. We can teach them. But it's the Holy Spirit who does the work of convicting souls in need of salvation. So that's one of the ministries of the Holy Spirit of God. But the Holy Spirit then, once we're saved, guides us unto all truth. Guides us into all truth. So one of the four things of being guided unto all truth. You know, we need to be willing to be guided. It's a wonderful thing to disciple. We'll mention that a little later on, just in a couple minutes here. But it's a wonderful thing to be discipled or to disciple someone in the Word of God. But that person who's being discipled needs to be willing. Needs to be willing. So we, through the Holy Spirit, can lead them to the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit can reveal the Word of God to them, but are they willing to be guided? So that's the first thing. Guided unto all truth. Are we willing, brothers and sisters, to be guided? And then if we disciple others, are they willing to be guided unto all truth? The Holy Spirit's ministry also, and of course first in salvation, is to reveal Christ to our hearts. To reveal Christ. as we read the Word of God, what does the Holy Spirit do? It reveals the things of the Lord Jesus Christ to our hearts. And then Christ becomes dearer to us. Just like those three words that just the Holy Spirit gave me this week. It is finished. I mean, how many times have we read that? And yet with a new freshness it came into my life. It is finished. The words of the Lord Jesus on the cross. So the Holy Spirit then takes in your life and in mine and reveals Christ to our hearts. Guides us into all truth, reveals Christ to our hearts, and comforts us. The Holy Spirit in this book alone is mentioned some more than 50 times we read of the Holy Spirit mentioned in the Acts of the Apostles to comfort us. How many times have we been comforted by the Holy Spirit of God? Sometimes we can't sleep at night. Those of us, there's those that can sleep beautifully. My wife is one of them. She puts her head on a pillow and she's out. God bless. That's wonderful. And there's those of us that lay awake counting the ceiling tiles at night. I don't know why that is, but some of us do for one reason or another. But the Holy Spirit pours in a comfort, and we think of verses from the Bible and we think of hymns, and the Holy Spirit pours in a comfort to our hearts. The Holy Spirit is working our lives, guiding us to all truth, revealing Christ to our hearts, comforting us, and strengthening us for His work. It is, after all, His work. It is all about Him. Just as this morning, the table was really all about the Lord. It's all about His worth and His work, and who He is wrapped up in the bread and the cup, His body and His blood. It's all about what Jesus did for us and about who He is. And so the Holy Spirit, just to remind our hearts this morning, strengthens us for His work, for His work. Now, what would we be if we didn't have the strengthening of the Holy Spirit of God? If we didn't have the convicting of the Holy Spirit of God upon our lives? I was sharing with the little group on a few Wednesday nights. We have small groups on Wednesday night. There's five of them where we meet. By the way, what we do, just real quick, is we take the Sunday message that we've heard and we try to make practical application of it on Wednesday night. So we're not just reviewing Sunday's message, but we're making applications. So how does it apply? I'm going to ask some questions in a few minutes as we go on in the message, and I'm not going to answer them. I'm going to let you answer them. I'm going to let you answer them. Because it's one thing to be hearers of the Word, but it's another thing to be doers of the Word. And so I was relating this story in a Wednesday night group that one time while driving to work, I drove through to get a cup of coffee, and something told me to park my car, go in and get the coffee rather than the convenience of the drive-thru. And so it did. It was the Holy Spirit telling me. I didn't know it at the time. I got out of my vehicle, and there was next to me a car from Massachusetts, just the next state over, not very far away. And there was a husband and wife sitting there having their breakfast. And the Spirit of God in the door, of course, of my car and my cup holder section, I carry gospel tracts. Spirit of God said, hand that track out, just as if it was an audible voice coming in through the loudspeaker system, you know. And I didn't. I turned off the key, I shut the door, I went in, I got my coffee. And while I was standing in line, the Spirit of God again prompted me to hand the track out to that couple. They're sitting there, they're a captive audience. You had enough time to buy the coffee, you have enough time to hand them a track. Even if you don't say anything, hand them the track. Okay, you ever been convicted by that, by the Holy Spirit like that? Something in your life, speak to your neighbor, whatever it is. Holy Spirit's working in your heart, and do it. And sometimes, maybe you don't. So I'm coming out to the car. I'm feeling just as convicted. The warmth of the cup of coffee was not as convicting as the warmth of the Holy Spirit to get in there and get that track out, David. And I sat my cup, and it was down in the cup holder. And it was as if my hand was frozen with that key in my hand. I want to tell you, I could not put that key in the ignition. I was so convicted of the Holy Spirit to grab a hold of a track and get out of the car. And so that's what I did. I put my keys down, opened my door. I went over. It was warm, so their windows were open. I went over to the lady. She was sitting on the passenger side. They were having their breakfast. And I walked over to the door with the track in my hand. And I didn't get over to that door. And this big guy got out of the driver's seat of the car and came around the other side of the car. And I'm looking up at him. And I got a little intimidated there for a minute, you know, wonder what he's going to say. And he sees the gospel paper in my hand. I said, just why I see you're from out of state and you're probably traveling home or you're going on vacation or whatever, and just something for you to read about the love of God, you know. And so went to hand his wife the track, and he took the track right out of my hand. He started looking at it and looked at me and looked at the track. He kind of, you know, glanced over the track quickly, looked at the back side of it, Cheshire Bible Chapel stamp on the back, and looked it over and looked at me and said, "Are you a Christian?" And I was, my wife will tell you, it doesn't happen too often. I was speechless. I wasn't expecting him to say that. I was expecting this big strapping guy to say something else or who knows what. You know, I don't want that, or throw it back in my face or whatever. "Are you a Christian?" And I said, "Yes, sir, I am." And he said, "Well, that's very nice." And I said, "Well, I must tell you, I'm a little confused." Because he says, "Well, oh, I'm a Christian too." He shared that he was a Christian. I said, "I'm a little confused because I really felt the prompting of the Spirit of God to hand you this tract. But I didn't do it when I went in for the coffee. And when I came back out, I really felt totally convicted to hand you this tract. But I don't understand why, because you're a Christian too. I mean, you don't need the tract if you're saved." And so then he put his hand on my shoulder as if he had known me a long time. He looked me square in the eye, and he said this, "Well then, young man," he said, "you've learned something today." He said, "Never quench the Spirit of God." Now I was totally, totally speechless. I looked at him, and I don't even remember saying anything. I just nodded. I had this huge lump in my throat. And he thanked me. He went around the other side of the car. He said, "Have a good day." And she was smiling. And I got in the car, and I shut the door. And tears started pouring down my face. The working of the Holy Spirit in our lives, guiding us to all truth, revealing Christ to our hearts, comforting us even in the night watches, strengthening us for His work. It is, after all, His work. Whether it's handing out a gospel tract, talking to my neighbor, your neighbor, standing in line in the grocery checkout aisle, maybe that person right in front of you needs to know the Lord. And the Holy Spirit has pricked your conscience to just say something. And gives you the words to say it. So let's be reminded of the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And although God has us in sometimes temporal jobs, you know, maybe He has us in servant-like positions. My dad was a maintenance man in Pratt & Whitney in West Hartford for many years. You know, he was in charge of everyone emptying the pails and that sort of a thing. Cleaning the shavings from off the machines because they used to make machine parts for the helicopters. Just a maintenance man. But everybody knew Tony knew the Lord. So no matter what our job is here on earth, our occupation should be Christ. So whether we're a servant, whether we're a deacon in our chapel or elder or parent or anything, our work may seem temporal to us. But with the Holy Spirit, it can have tremendous spiritual impact. Our service to the Lord, should flow from worship from our heart. Am I relying on my own power, or am I relying upon the power of the Holy Spirit of God? I ask that question to your heart, to mine today too. So the Lord's final words when He was here: "But ye shall receive power," verse number 8, "of the Holy Spirit shall come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Orlando and Tampa and the othermost parts of the earth." Practical application. I'm not trying to be funny. I wasn't looking for a laugh with that. Practical application of God's Word. Wherever He has us, we're endowed by the power of the Holy Spirit to proclaim the gospel. So we're commissioned by Christ, just like His own were commissioned. And do we have that vision? If there's a vision that you have here for this fellowship, I trust the vision is to go out. It's so wonderful when we go out, we bring people in. We meet with our neighbors. We have an outreach group. There's obviously some things going on here. I was talking to Joseph Jeremiah. Has he come here before? He's heard of your work. And he heard how the Lord is working here. And you know, you talk to people that share with you the work that's going on. And it's a wonderful, encouraging thing. So I want to encourage your hearts this morning. But obviously the Spirit of God is alive and well in this fellowship, was evident from the worship this morning. The ministry of the Holy Spirit to reveal Christ and to challenge our hearts this morning. Roman numeral 2. The Lord's given us a complete set of instructions, a blueprint. I mentioned them in Acts 2:42 for building His church. and building individual believers. Let's look at an account, please, quickly in Luke's Gospel, chapter 24. Luke chapter number 24. Just like to look at a couple verses here with you. Beginning to read at verse 33. And they rose up in the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found that 11 had gathered together and those were with them, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon." And they told him what things were done along the way and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. You remember in the verses previously how he walked with them and he exposed to them the scriptures and expounded to them the scriptures concerning himself, verse 27. And their eyes were opened, verse 31. So he's talking about that. And verse 35 it says, and they told him the things that were done along the way and how he had was known to them in the breaking of bread, Christ revealing, opening their eyes. And as they thus spoke, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, "Peace be unto you." And they were terrified and frightened and supposed that he had been seen a spirit. And he said unto them, "Why are ye troubled? Why do your thoughts arise in your heart? Behold my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have." And when they had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wonder, he said unto them, "Have ye here anything to eat?" And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and a honeycomb. And he took it, and he did eat before them. Let's quickly read on. And he said unto them, "These are the words which I have spoken unto you, that while I was yet with you, all things might be fulfilled, which was written of the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me." Then opened he their understanding. First, in verse number 31, he opened their eyes. Now he opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And he said unto them, "Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise again from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name in all the nations, beginning in Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father unto you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endowed with power from on high." And he led them as far as Bethany, and lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he parted from them and carried up into heaven, and they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they continued in the temple, praising and blessing God. What a beautiful picture of fellowship and intimacy with our Lord Jesus Christ. Look back at verse number 31 of the same chapter. And their eyes were open. Their eyes were open. What a wonderful thing when Christ, through the Holy Spirit, opens our eyes. First in salvation, our eyes are open. We see our darkened, sinful nature. We see we're on our way to hell. The Holy Spirit reveals God's plan of salvation. Our eyes are open. Before we read the scriptures, it was another book. But now our eyes are open. We receive the salvation of God. We are saved and born again. And now when we read the scriptures, they come alive to us. Our understanding becomes open. Christ revealed, he opened their hearts in the breaking of bread, in the knowledge of himself. He opened his hands and showed them, "It's really me. It's really me. Touch and see. It's really me." And that's what he does with us. In the quietness of our times with him, he opens our eyes to see the wonderful things in his scriptures. He opens to us, he opens our hearts that we might receive it, that we might receive it. And then he shows us by faith his hands. Christ opening our eyes so that we can see. Christ opening our hearts so that we can appreciate his presence every day. And Christ opening their understanding and our understanding so that we can comprehend. And how does he do this? Through the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives. May God help us never to grieve the Holy Spirit in our lives. What a waste for us. I remember times in my young teens after I was saved, not too many years after, wandering away from the Lord. I don't know if you've ever had a time like that, but I did. I regret as I look back, but I'm so thankful. Talk about grace and the mercy of God coming and restoring me to himself. I spent no time at all in his word. Is it any wonder I didn't grow in my young years? But the Lord has such grace and patience and perseverance with us. He perseveres. You know, if it were me, I would have given up on me. But the Lord keeps us and wants to have our understanding opened up that we might appreciate Him, that we might appreciate Him. So the Lord's given us these blueprints, patterns for us in Scripture to know how we're to follow Him. He's given us His Holy Spirit to help us along the way. So by practical application, as I close, I think I have 3 or 4 minutes left. Let me just share with you some things that we can do as believers. Things that we can do, and you may already be doing them. I know that Dennis was very involved with prison ministry back in Connecticut. They were involved in a lot of things in our assembly. We're very thankful for that. But Joseph Jeremiah was telling us about his involvement in the some retirement communities in the area. And there's prisons, and there's door-to-door ministries. We've started something not too long ago, Young Believer, put some of us older believers to shame, and he said there's this place called Columbia House in New Haven, Connecticut, and I'd like to bring you all there, and we'll all go and we'll prepare a meal. I've gotten permission, and we'll prepare a meal, we can't publicly speak the gospel, but we can hand out tracts. We can have a place in the back of the place where they eat and have Bibles and tracts, and we can be a presence there for them. Although they won't allow us to physically speak the gospel, our lives will speak the gospel. And so a few of us went. And then we had it the next time. And the next time, so many were encouraged to go, there wasn't room enough in the kitchen for us all. And so we overflowed into the room where they were. And they opened up. And some of them, yes, did come in the back. In fact, little Richie Garuti, I remember one of the young brothers in our assembly, was he 13 years old? I was standing over here. He was sitting on the chair, and there was a big table with Bibles and tracts, and the people started coming over to see, you know, what's there. And Richie saw someone coming. I thought he was going to nail me to the floor. He got up so fast from his chair, bolted right by me with a tract in his hand and a Bible in the other hand. He was waiting for them to come. So God gives us opportunities, and we need to look for these opportunities. So in practical ways, how can we minister? There's prison ministry. You may be already involved in it. There might be a soup kitchen you can do. Maybe there's something with a connection here at the school. There's some way we can be used of God. And there's so many, you know, people don't need to be poor to be needy. There's many, plenty of rich people that are needy because they haven't got Christ. They're very needy. They have all the things of the world, boats and planes and everything else, but they're needy. They haven't got Christ. And so we need to reach out, practical ways to reach out and to let people know who we are and what we believe as we grow in the knowledge of His Son. And application of God's Word. I'd like to leave 4 questions with you today. I didn't print them out, so if some of you can write fast, it's fine. I see it's being recorded, so you can probably listen to it later, I imagine, on MP3 or whatever this technology is here. Some questions to ask ourselves as we meditate on growing this church, growing God's church. 4 questions to make application. Question number 1, how are we affecting the lives of others for the kingdom? How are we affecting the lives of others for the kingdom? 2, are we drawing people to the Lord or away from the Lord? Are we drawing people to the Lord or away from the Lord? Question number 3, when we get together, meaning like in the homes, fellowship with other people, and there's people in there that are unsaved, are we speaking about the things of God? Are we speaking about the things of God? And then finally, number 4, in what ways are we building one another up in Christ? What ways are we building one another up in Christ? I'd like to look at that expression quickly. What do I have, like a minute left or so? I'd like to look at this expression, in Christ. If you have any kind of a program in your computer, we have something called Power Bible. I recently purchased e-Bible. They're wonderful tools to help us to look up little expressions. The expression, in Christ, or with Christ, is mentioned 80 times in Scripture. The reference, in Christ or with Christ, is mentioned 80 times in Scripture. Those are 2 important things. I'll leave you with these thoughts today in terms of growing the church. In Christ speaks of the blessings that result from our spirit union with the Son of God. I am in Christ because I am joined through my belief that Jesus died for me, I am in Christ, speaks of the blessings that result from my spirit union with the Son of God. And then with Christ speaks of positionally or identificational truths. Positionally, I'm with Christ. I'm already there in the heavenlies, Paul says, with Christ. Now I am in Christ one day, and now I'm also with Christ in the heavenlies. One day we shall be with him, as Dennis reminded us. So here's a number of things we have in Christ. And perhaps when you listen to this, you can write them down and study them on your own. What do we have in Christ? The growing church should recognize growing believers, believers that desire to be a testimony, should recognize what we have in Christ. We have redemption in Christ, Romans 3:24. We have no condemnation in Christ, Romans 8:1. We have the spirit of life and power over sin. Our brother was reminding us in our worship this morning, the power over sin. We have the spirit of life and power over sin in Christ, Romans 8:39. We are made one in the body of Christ, Romans 12:5. In Christ we have sanctification, 1 Corinthians 1:2. In Christ we have hope, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 19. In Christ we are made alive, 1 Corinthians 15:22. In Christ we triumph by God's grace, not by our own power, but by God's grace, 2 Corinthians 2:24. In Christ we are new creatures. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We are new creatures in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17. In Christ, we have all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, Ephesians 1, 3. I know I'm going through these quickly, but if you can listen to the tape, you'll record them again. In Christ, there's two more things. In Christ, most importantly, we have salvation, 2 Timothy 2:10. And in Christ, we are preserved. We are preserved in Christ. May my heart today be challenged as we daily refresh ourselves with the basics. The basics, the Holy Spirit indwells us, brothers and sisters. It's the Holy Spirit that reveals Christ to us. It's the Holy Spirit that empowers us. It's the Holy Spirit that shows us the things of the Lord Jesus Christ. And to quote from Warren Henderson's book called Seeds of Destiny, I don't know if you know our brother Warren Henderson, but one of the books he's written called Seeds of Destiny, it's a study in Genesis by Gospel Folio Press, he said this, "May my heart, our hearts be challenged to daily refresh ourselves in Christ. And then, as we do, maintain a focus on the Lord. All that we have in Him refreshes our hearts. Everything we have in Him refreshes us. What? Our hope, our sanctification, all the things I mentioned. And then life circumstances, Warren writes, life circumstances will not seem so overwhelming when we are resting in all that we have in Christ and with Christ. May the Lord bless these few thoughts to you today. I trust that you'll be encouraged to read further on yourself. The Acts of the Apostles is a wonderful place for a new church to be reading because it could have many titles, as we mentioned over it, but it's the history of the ministry of the church with a vision toward the kingdom of God. And any chapel wants to have that. May God help and encourage those that lead you in your leadership here. May you be encouraged to disciple with one another. Let me tell you, the value of discipleship is wonderful. I spent 2 years with a brother, Joe Murphy, from our chapel, and recently saved. And we, on Tuesday nights, Mary Beth would cook him a home-cooked meal. He's a single guy, and he loves Mary Beth's cooking. And he would come over, and we would study the book of Genesis together. It took us 2 years to get through Genesis, but it was a wonderful study. But more importantly, we both grew in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Joe is in other chapels now, speaking the word. He's grown, not because of me, it's because of God's word. Disciple with one another. Disciple, sisters, disciple with one another. Brothers, disciple with one another. Encourage one another in the Lord. And may God help us to be a people that will grow not just in numbers, but that will grow spiritually. And appreciate all that we have in Christ and with Christ. May it be so for His name's sake. Let's close. Forgive me for running over. Father, thank You for the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Dear Father, thank you for revealing Christ to us. And once we were dead in our sins, and now we are alive in Christ. Thank you for that. Thank you for your promises, which are true, Heavenly Father. Thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us and who is at your right hand interceding for us now in the heavenlies. And thank you, Father, for what we've been reminded of today at the close of our worship to you, is that one day your Son, when he hears that it's time from your lips, one day he will come and we will hear the shout and the trump of God and we will be called away. We pray it may be so in our lifetime, and we will meet him in the air and we shall see him face to face. In the meantime, Father, help us to appreciate our standing in Christ positionally, and help us to, Father, be encouraging one another to grow in the knowledge of your Son. And may this assembly find a discipling with one another and growth in the things of God. And may they be encouraged to reach out beyond their comfort zone and go out to the lost and tell people about Christ. Father, thank you for the great commission you've given us to go into all the world and make disciples of men. And so, Father, help us to do this. We know without your Holy Spirit, we would be powerless. So, Father, we lay ourselves before you. We thank you for this assembly. And we pray your encouragement and your strength to this assembly here in this locale. Thank you for a fellowship we can enjoy. And we thank you most of all because of your Son, Jesus. We are saved and sanctified in Christ. We ask your blessing upon the saints here now. And we close this time in the worthy name of your Son, Jesus the Christ.